long of a week. It has been, at least for those of us who've been just listening to the news. We find that our world seems to be falling apart as we speak. And we go, how much more do we have to endure? How much more do we have to see? How much more do we have to feel? And it just seems like one more time, bigger numbers. And my concern, brothers and sisters, is this, that we who have begun this race, that we, by God's grace, holding on to his hand, will finish it. Finish it. It's not enough just to begin a race, right? We need to finish it. In fact, that's the most important. I remember I was in Pathfinders. Any Pathfinders here today? All right. Okay, so Pathfinders. And there was one of these requirements where you have to, you know, it's the fitness part of it. And I was, I think, a friend or companion. I was one of the beginner classes. And I was so excited because we had to run, I think it was a half mile. And you had to run it in a few minutes. I don't know if it was 12 minutes or something. But I remember I was excited about running with all the other Pathfinders. We had guides and voyagers and explorers, and everyone was there. And the friends and companions are the lower classes, so we're the younger ones, and we're there on the line. And they say, your marks, get set, go, and off I went. And already as a companion, I had long legs. Yes, I was a tall kid already when I was young, and I just saw the bigger kids who were in guide and voyage, they just took off running. And I said, I'm going to keep up. And I just kept going and going and going and going. And for about a quarter of a mile, I was with them. And there was this, we started off, let's say, on that side, and we had to run all the way to the other side. And then there were some people there. And once we got to that line, they said, turn around. And when I got there, I said, what? I'm out. I have no mass energy. And I kept running, but slowly but surely, I was the last person to come in and complete the assignment. I don't even know if I did it under the time required, but I can still remember to this day, my lungs were burning, my neck was burning. I had no more energy. Exhausted. And when I think of the Christian life, brothers and sisters, does it feel sometimes like that way? Yes? Does it feel that way? Like you're running and running and running, and it's just getting harder and harder and harder. But I find hope in the book of Joshua, amen? I find hope in Jesus, amen? Who invites us to run this race by keeping our eyes on Jesus. God has given us a high calling, a calling for holiness. And that is a high calling, isn't it? And then when we look at our world, how it's sinking in sin, it's just going deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. We are called to go higher and higher and higher in our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. I like the book of Joshua because it doesn't only show me the beginning of Joshua's ministry with the people of Israel or even with Moses before they crossed the Jordan. But the book of Joshua starts and tells us the latter part of Joshua's life. His last days before he passed away. It gives us a message of who he was. And I believe there are several characteristics that we as Christians should have, should practice, should do. And as being a Christian, a high calling. It's a very high calling. In fact, it is the highest calling. Is being a doctor a high calling? Yes. Is being a nurse a high calling? Yes. Is being a carpenter a high calling? Yes. Is being a plumber a high calling? Yes. Is being a mom a high calling? Oh, yes. Is being a dad a high calling? Yes. In fact, you're expected to do your best. How many of you want to visit a dentist who doesn't do his best? Watch out, right? You want the best. How many of you want a plumber to work in your home who doesn't do his best? No. We have high expectations, high standards. Does God have high expectation of his children? He does. Are the expectations that we can achieve, brothers and sisters? Yes, by his grace, you and I can achieve God's expectations. Does God want us to be happy? Amen. Does God want his children to be strong? Amen. Does God want his children to be courageous? Amen. We find that in the book of Joshua. And if you go with me, we'll find some of these characteristics that Joshua had and that we are invited also to follow in that example. One of these characteristics that we already saw once before is found in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, please go there with me. And I want to read verse 2, where God is speaking to Joshua. And he tells him, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel." Was Joshua someone that listened to God? Yes. Did he have a relationship with God? Did he take time to pray in the morning? Yes. He made this a priority. In fact, you see what God tells Joshua in verse 8. "This book of the law shall not," what? "Depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it once a week on Sabbath." Amen? No. Okay, 3 times a week. Meditate on it 5 days a week. Meditate on it day and night, every day. Take the time to be in communion with God. Take the time to listen to his instructions. Take the time to know what his will is. God promises in his word, "For then you will make your way prosperous." And as we read last time, that is, you will make good decisions. You will succeed. Joshua was called to a high ministry. He was called to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Is that a high calling? That's a very high calling. What a responsibility to take all these people into the promised land. And Joshua knew that he would not be able to do this very important task by himself. I like what the Bible tells us there in Joshua chapter 1. I, says the Lord, I am giving them to you. Amen? God said, he promised, I will give these nations to you. I have a quote that I would like to share with our church family this morning. Those who are engaged in service for the master need an experience much higher, deeper, broader than many have yet thought of having. Many who are already members of God's great family. How many of those are here today? Amen. We're members of God's great family. Know little of what it means to behold his glory and to be changed from glory to glory. Have you beheld God's glory? Yes. What does it look like? What does it look like to behold God's glory, brothers and sisters? Share with me. Talk to me. What is it? Fallbrook Church. Amen. Yes. When you look at Jesus, you behold God's glory. Amen. His awesomeness. Praise the Lord. Amen. What he continues to do in you and in me. I find a promise here. Many have a twilight perception of Christ's excellence, and their hearts thrill with joy. They long for a fuller, deeper sense of the Savior's love. Let these cherish every desire of the soul after God. The Holy Spirit works with those who will be worked, molds those who will be molded, fashioned those who will be fashioned. Give yourselves the culture of spiritual thoughts and holy communings. You have seen but the first rays of the early dawn of his glory. As you follow on to know the Lord, you will know that the path of the righteous is as the light of dawn that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. How does it look like, or how did it look like this morning? How many of you guys woke up early this morning? Pastor Sam has to wake up at least by 6 in the morning on Saturdays, yes? Then he takes off around 7:15. That's already cutting it close. And this morning, it was super bright. Amen? It was like, wow! I could see the ocean. And I live around 20 miles away from the ocean. But I could see it. It was clear. And as that sun continued to go up, up above the horizon, the brightness just shone more and more splendid. Does that represent us, brothers and sisters? Yes. As we continue to have a relationship with Jesus, can our experience be like the light of the dawn that shineth more and more unto the perfect day? Amen? That's a promise. And Joshua took it to heart, and he said, by God's grace, I will be obedient. Is it easy to be obedient? Can I see hands? No hands today. For me, it's difficult to be obedient. Just ask my mom, my dad. You can also ask Carolina. What happened? I told you. Does God expect obedience, brothers and sisters? Does he deserve obedience? He does. He does. Because what he tells you and me is our best desire. He wants to see us happy. Amen? And when he says, put away those idols, what is he talking about? Are there idols that we struggle with? Yes. Are there idols that are taking our time? Yes. Are there idols that are taking our children? Yes. Are there idols that are distracting us from what is important in life? Yes. And what can we do? Can we make a decision to put those idols away and to ask God to be our God and to serve him alone? Amen? So Joshua took the task, the high task of leading God's people. And we know that it wasn't easy. There were some difficulties. Does anybody know how many cities he was able to conquer by God's grace? This man, with a group of novice, they had not gone through boot camp. They had never, ever used an arrow or bow in their life. They were coming out of the desert. They were trying to survive. And now they were called to face these giants and these big cities. What do you say? Okay, they conquered one city, Jericho. That's pretty good, isn't it? That would have been great. Did they conquer two cities? Did they conquer three cities? How many cities does anybody know? I'll share with you. Joshua chapter 11, chapter 12 tells us that Joshua, with the children of Israel, conquered 31 cities. Amen? 31 cities and their kings. And sometimes these kings would come out in groups of five versus one and say, we could do this together. Their numbers were like the sand of the sea. And they were just a group trying to do what God had called them to do. Does it sometimes feel, brothers and sisters, that the ones out there are more than the ones in here? Yes? Does it sometimes feel like we are outnumbered? Pastor Sam, there's no way we could do this. But if God's on our side, can we conquer? God has promised in his word that we can conquer. In fact, you see a God who opened the Jordan so his people could cross over into the promised land. He made these walls fall down so that his people could enter that city. In one occasion, he made stones to drop like rain upon the enemies. Can we say amen to that? Amen, because they were tired. They had been running all day after their enemies and could not catch them. God said, I'll help. I'll throw these stones out of the sky. God made the sun to stop in its place for a whole day. Do you and I serve an awesome God? We serve an awesome God. He even made the bees to pursue the enemy. That's powerful, isn't it? Try shooting a bee. I'm not saying this. Who says it? The Word of God. I want to take you there really quickly. Let's go to Joshua towards the end. chapter 23, where Joshua is already an older person, advanced in age, there in verse 2. And then in verse 3, he says, "You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you." Can we say amen? The Lord is the one who has fought for us. Verse 14, "Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your heart and all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed." Can we say amen? All the words that God promised he would do, he fulfilled. Have you ever had a friend break a promise? Have you ever had a family member break a promise? How does that feel? You feel disappointed, discouraged, right? The Bible tells us God never breaks his promises. Amen? Everything that he promises that he will do, he fulfills to the T. Joshua chapter 24. God is speaking here to the children of Israel. And he's telling them, "Remember how I brought you out of Egypt. Remember how I opened the Red Sea so that you could cross through it. Remember how I took care of you in the desert. Remember how Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you." Verse 10, "But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore, he continued to bless you. Even your enemies will" what? "Bless you." Do we serve a powerful God? Verse 11, "Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Pharisees, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant." Do we serve an awesome God, brothers and sisters? Praise the Lord. And Joshua was here speaking to the children of Israel, telling them, look at all the things that God is telling us. All the beautiful things that he has done. And yet, the Israelites, like us today, like me, I hesitate to serve the one who does everything for me. Do you ever find yourself in that situation? Why? Why do we hesitate? Why do we see the things of this world as more important or more attractive than the one who gives us life? And the one who provides us with food, and the one who provides us with health? Joshua was a special man. And I believe this is one of the reasons why he was special. We too must have time set apart for meditation and prayer and for receiving spiritual refreshing. We do not value the power and efficacy of prayer as we should. Prayer and faith will do what no power on earth can accomplish. We are seldom, in all respects, placed in the same position twice. In other words, we continually have new scenes and new trials to pass through, where past experience cannot be a sufficient guide. We must have the continual light that comes from God and God alone. Amen? The challenges that you and I will face this week are not the same challenges we just faced this past week. Do you want to be ready for those challenges? Do you want to have the strength and the courage to face those challenges? God is willing to help us and provide us with the knowledge, the wisdom to make it through this coming week. Brothers and sisters, it's only February. It's only what? 2018, and it feels like it's already what? It's been a long year already. But praise God that he is willing to walk with us, amen? And hold our hand. Get us through this day. Get us through this coming week. Get us through this coming month. One more quote that I would like to share with you. The reason why so many are left to themselves in places of temptation is that they do not see, they do not set the Lord always before them. When we permit our communion with God to be broken, our defense is departed from us. Not all your good purposes and good intentions will enable you to withstand evil. You must be men and women of prayer. Your petitions must not be faint, occasional, and fitful, but earnest, persevering, and constant. It is not always necessary to bow upon your knees in order to pray. Cultivate the habit of taking with the Savior when you are alone. The habit of talking with the Savior when you are alone. When you are walking and when you are busy with your daily labor, let the heart be continually uplifted in silent petition for help, for light, for strength, for knowledge. Let every breath be a prayer. Amen. This morning I left quickly. I got up around 6 this morning. And as I was getting ready, I said, I better send my sermon to my email address. I'll print it out here at church when I get here. And when I got here, there was no email, no sermon. I was like, okay. What happened here? And it said something about an error with the server or something that I didn't understand. So I said, maybe I just have to press that button many, many times and it will show up. Nothing happened. But praise God that we have a God who hears our prayers. Amen? And he's constantly listening. He knows your needs. He knows my needs. They're different every day, aren't they? Challenging every day, aren't they? And we just go, God, how do I solve this problem? I praise God for my wife. Amen? She was trying too. And after first service, we got together and we said, what can we do here? Change the password. Amen? I was able to change the password. Maybe this way I can get into my server. For whatever reason, it didn't want to let me in. I tried a different server. I was with AT&T trying to get into my email. I went to Yahoo. I guess they're both part of the family. They let me in. Amen? I got my email. I was able to print my sermon. Amen? We all face challenges, brothers and sisters. Pastors face challenges. Believe me, we do. Pray for pastors. Doctors face challenges, don't they? Can we pray for our doctors? Teachers face challenges. Can we pray for our teachers? Parents, are you facing challenges? Can we pray for our parents? Children, sons and daughters, are you facing challenges? Yes. I don't think there's a generation that has faced the challenges this generation is facing. We can praise God for our young people here at church, brothers and sisters. Amen? That is a miracle. God working in the hearts of people. And God invites us that every breath we take becomes a prayer. Amen? A prayer that constantly is going up to God. You may feel the deficiency of your character and the smallness of your ability in comparison with the greatness of the work. But if you had the greatest intellect ever given to man, it would not be sufficient for your work. Without me, ye can do nothing, says our Lord and Savior. Is that a true statement? And praise God that he wants to stand right next to us and help us with every challenge that we are facing today. I want to close with a verse that was read this morning. Scripture reading by Sierra. And she did a powerful job. Amen? Amen? Verse 14 tells us, now therefore, this is Joshua now speaking, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? Amen? Did Joshua reach the goal that God had intended for him? Did Joshua reach the high calling that God had intended for him? And brothers and sisters, the only way I think he was able to make it through those years in that land where he was surrounded by so many enemies and so many challenges and so many difficulties, like you and I today, is because he purposed in his heart to serve one and one person alone. Amen? He purposed to serve him who makes things possible. The one who gives us life, and the one who can help us with any challenge we might be facing today. Amen? Does God only care about the big problems? Does he care about our problems too? And many of us might not think, wow, my problem isn't that important. But it's important to God. Everything we do, everything we say is important to God. And he wants to invite you, he wants to invite me to put our trust in him. Amen? Amen. To serve him with all of our heart, mind, and soul. And by God's grace, one day very soon, reach that promised land. Amen? Amen. I think we're ready. Amen? Amen? We're longing for that day. And by God's grace, he will lead us, just like Joshua led the people of God, into that beautiful land and served him with all he had. Amen. At this moment, I would like to invite the congregation to stand as we sing our closing hymn, hymn number 309. And brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to sing this like you have never sung it before, okay? First time. With all of your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. Not for Pastor Sam, not for your spouse, not for anyone else but God. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily. With me. Dear Heavenly Father, we have been wandering in this big, big desert called planet Earth. Where people have lost sight, Father, of who you are and your amazing character of love. Where people have lost sight of the beautiful opportunity that we have to know each other, to talk to each other, to help each other, support each other, encourage each other. And Father, I believe you have brought each one of us here today. And I believe you have a beautiful purpose for each one of us. And you've given us the highest calling anyone could ever receive. And that is to be a child of God. And Father, may we live in such a way that our trust in you, our love for you and for others will be reflected in a brighter way as we continue to walk together with you upon planet Earth. Father, you know the needs of your church. You know the needs of each family here represented. Father, we thank you that you have an answer, that you have a solution, and that by your grace one day we will enjoy a place that you have gone to prepare for each one of us. May we all, like Joshua, like Moses, and so many other men and women of God, fulfill your plans for our life. This we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.